Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We don't think the halving itself is a necessarily like a bullish event. You know, it's going to be out of the way soon. And then there's going to be some fatigue, but it's not nearly this bullish argument that people are trying to make, that suddenly there's this big supply-demand imbalance because there's no buyer right now.
It's Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Hello and welcome to Markets Daily, a show in which we bring on the smartest people in crypto and beyond to get you your latest markets trends and what to make of them. Overall, prices are looking pretty ugly, but let's bring in our guest who sometimes I think has a crystal ball in his office because he is often right about his forecasts, Marcus Thielen, co-founder of 10x Research. Marcus, we've been talking about your most recent report all week on this show, so it's great to finally have you with us today. Take us inside your latest report. Why have you turned bearish?
Yeah, thanks for having me, you know, once again. So basically, our main view is that we don't have the typical drivers anymore that really brought prices from the 40, the 45 region to the 70,000 region. And of course, the one main factor has been the ETF inflows, and the ETF inflows have basically dried up over the last 4 to 5 weeks. It took investors, I think, a long time to really realize this, but I think the evidence was there. And it all points to really higher inflation numbers, either expressed to the CPI or the PPI. And when we look at the data releases for that we see in March and as well as in April, both times actually Bitcoin sharply sold off. So we were looking for this macro signal taking over really from the crypto fundamentals, right? And I think at the same time, without going on too long, but at the same time, the market internals have actually become very weak. The funding rates used to be very elevated. It has come in quite a lot. And we actually think this is like part of actually the ETF flows, which brings an interesting constellation. I think it all kind of sums up that the upside driver is unfortunately not there right now anymore.
So you're saying the upside driver over the past few weeks for Bitcoin's rise were the ETF flows? Because I know that the levels that we're seeing right now are sort of the more normal levels in the ETF world. So what does that mean for Bitcoin then?
Well, I think what you typically have is a novelty product. There's a lot of demand for it. There's a lot of hype. But then the hype dies down a little bit. And I think with what we're seeing with these ETFs is, of course, that Grayscale continues to sell, but everybody else sort of has run out of buyers at this moment. And it really seems that a lot of the TradFi investors are not biting here anymore, let's say at 70,000, or even if you're going lower to like 62,000. So there's not much inflow anymore. And it's very difficult to see how this inflow is actually turning around, because it's not just Bitcoin that is turning around and going south. It's also their favorite tech stocks like Nvidia, or for example, the Nasdaq, right? Last year, it was about the Magnificent Seven. Now it's sort of like 4 or 5 stocks that kept the market up. So it's just not necessarily crypto related, but of course, crypto is becoming a casualty of I think a general sort of like risk off environment. I'm not saying it's going to last forever. I'm not going to saying Bitcoin is going to go to zero, but I think we're going to probably see something like, you know, like prices of like, you know, mid 50,000, if not 52,000.
So it sounds like you're expecting a pretty significant correction here. If we're talking about the mid 50s, how long do you think this correction will last, and how soon can we anticipate it?
Well, you know, historically, you know, one of our bullish arguments was really that sort of like the 2 months before the halving, you tend to see a 32% rally. And, you know, we have been really sort of like pushing this rally since really late January and really coming up with, you know, very aggressive price targets. And one aggressive price target was really like 68,000 that nobody really expected we would reach, because traditionally we have the 32% rally into the halving. But then the move after the halving is actually very muted. It's sort of like up maybe 5%, maybe 10% for the next kind of like 40, 50 days. So we don't think the halving itself is a necessarily like a bullish event. You know, it's going to be out of the way soon. And then there's going to be some fatigue, but it's not nearly this bullish argument that people are trying to make, that suddenly there's this big supply-demand imbalance because there's no buyer right now.
I do have a couple questions about the halving. The first one being, how much is the fact that we have such high rates and inflation going to potentially weaken the impact of the halving on the price of Bitcoin, in your opinion?
Well, I think the most interesting aspect about the halving is really that traditionally Bitcoin prices rally, but why do they rally? And they rally because the miners restrict supply into the market, and they usually release the supply after the halving. It's just because, you know, the revenue basically drops off after the halving because they suddenly only mine half the Bitcoins. And if the price stays the same, the revenues are down 50%. That's why what we have seen is that the publicly listed miners increasing the inventory, and they will likely sell this inventory after the halving.
It's interesting that you say that, because Goldman Sachs published a note earlier this week saying that past bull runs following the halving weren't necessarily a direct result of the halving itself, but that a lot of that upside was driven by macro factors such as low interest rates. Do you agree that that was a big driver behind the price appreciation in the past, or would you give most of the credit to the halving?
Well, I wouldn't give almost like any credit to the halving, because I don't think the halving is the big driver. It's really the big macro factors, but it's not necessarily low interest rates that are really the driver. It's more kind of other constellations. So when we had suddenly the big up move after the last halving, right? So the last halving, you know, was I think in May 2020, and it really took like 5-6 months before really the rally started. And the rally really started when Fed Chair Powell said, we're just going to push the stimulus as much as we can. We're not going to, you know, we're just driving really hard the market here with stimulus. We're not going to take any stimulus away. And I think that's when we had the big rally. And when we look at, for example, the altcoin dominance that we're seeing right now, it's just at 21%. So there's no spike in it. And, you know, a lot of people have been trying to claim that we should be on the cusp really of an altcoin rally. But this altcoin rally, yes, it started after the previous two halvings, but it started with a delay of 6 months. And it, you know, it's difficult to argue that then, well, we have the halving now, but then 6 months later, we should see as a result an altcoin rally. No, that's not how it works. There's some other macro factor in place. And again, during the last halving, it was really the stimulus package, you know, around, you know, COVID, you know, everybody got free money. Everybody could, you know, speculate with, you know, government, you know, handouts, basically. That was really driving the market. And I think, you know, we can go back in time and really see how Bitcoin is really, really driven by macro more than people kind of want to admit, right? When you look at the 2021 bull market, which was basically a mixture between DeFi summer and NFT minting. So when did the bubble pop? The bubble basically popped in November 2021, just before the Fed started to turn hawkish, basically, and interest rates, you know, were starting to climb and so on. And when did Bitcoin bottom out? Bitcoin bottomed out kind of like in January 2023, when the CPI came in much lower. And of course, now we have sort of like 2-3 months of higher CPI, higher PPI behind us. So now the market starts to become more worried again that, hey, maybe the Fed is not done, with their kind of interest rate hike trajectory. I personally think they're not going to hike. I think they're going to just stay on hold. But certainly the 6 rate hikes that people were expecting for this year has been repriced to 3. And I think even the 3 are quite debatable. The Fed might not cut at all this year. And I think that's sort of like a little headwind here. And I think that's why we have turned, cautious.
So would you say that most investors are still trading Bitcoin like they trade all of their other risk assets, as opposed to holding it as a hedge for inflation and other macro impacts, which many claim it is?
I mean, it's a good point, right? Because I think people always tend to confuse inflation with money printing, because in the end, Bitcoin is a hedge against money printing and not inflation. You know, so when did Bitcoin really explode is really when M2 really skyrocketed. But M2 is not skyrocketing anymore. And I think that's why you cannot really argue it's a macro hedge. And I think it was unfortunately quite disappointing when we had sort of, you know, the news on the weekend, you know, about some geopolitical risk. And, you know, what did unfortunately happen? Bitcoin, you know, sold off instead of being like a safety asset. So it sort of like failed, unfortunately, this little test. But maybe that just shows that there's a bigger overhang because, you know, traditionally, it's not really that risk assets go down on geopolitical risk, you know, unless it's, for example, like tariffs or something. But if there is some war here and there, usually risk assets don't really worry too much. What really happens is more that, you know, inflation expectations and interest rate policy is a lot more important. As I was saying, if now the Fed might not be seen as cutting interest rates anytime soon, I think then a lot of the Bitcoin rally is maybe built on kind of like, you know, wrong expectations. And again, I think what's really, really crucial is that these ETF flows, they didn't stop out of the blue. They didn't stop out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, they really stopped around March 12th when we got the CPI. And on March, 14th, you know, that area, the PPI came out. And that, since then, actually, the ETF flows have dried out. And I think that's really kind of like where macro investors, because the ETFs, you know, are supposed to be for macro investors, are supposed to be, you know, for the Wall Street investors that make decisions based on interest rates, they really stopped, buying those ETFs. And I think that's why every day we're looking at it and it's sort of like, well, up 50 million, down 50 million, you know, what is Grayscale selling today? But it's not really the driver. And I think it was a great signaling mechanism where we expected every day sort of like $300-$500 million of ETF inflows, because that gave the whole industry confidence. And, you know, we really want that, of course, crypto goes up, but I think the chance is just very, very low right now.
You also wrote in your research paper that you sold, or 10x Research sold all of its tech stocks on Monday in preparation for this next bear market. Did you sell any Bitcoin too? And what do you suggest traders to do with their Bitcoin?
Well, you know, we don't have any positions right now. You know, we were very long into this rally, really. But I think right now it's a little bit kind of cautious period. We need to, I think, get the macro headwinds out of the way. And as I was saying, I think it goes similarly for stocks, where we're seeing, you know, I mean, a month ago, everybody was talking about, you know, NVIDIA and AI, and analysts were upgrading the stock, you know, price target, you know, into the sky. And, you know, and everybody wanted to get a piece of this business, and everybody was making arguments why, you know, NVIDIA and other AI stocks can fly higher. But of course, those stocks are also correcting now. And I think this is just how, a broader risk asset sell-off. I'm not saying it has to be, you know, 10% stock correction or 20%, but I think we're going to go through some consolidation period here for probably, you know, a few weeks. And I think hopefully then we can buy back at lower levels and then seeing, you know, higher levels towards the rest of the year. But I think right now it is really a difficult environment.
And finally, I just want to open it up quickly to you. Was there anything you left out of the report that you can share here, or any other research you've been doing this week that you think is interesting for our listeners?
One theory we have is actually that, part of the BlackRock ETF might be used and offset for margin trading in, for example, CME Bitcoin futures. So that's why maybe we're seeing this kind of compression of the funding rate hand going hand in hand with less ETF inflows. So we think there's some correlation here. And, you know, last time when we spoke, you know, with CoinDesk, I think it was like 5 weeks ago, was where we saw, for example, altcoin speculation in Korea really exploding from, you know, a daily trading volume of like 3 billion to 16 billion. And, you know, Shiba Inu was, you know, as a meme coin, was the most traded tokens for 7 consecutive days. At one point, trading 3.5 billion out of those 16 billion. And, you know, keeping in mind that the Korean stock market only trades $8 billion a day. So crypto was twice as large as the stock market. But I think those volumes have also come in now, just going back to 3 billion per day. So I think that just tells you that there's not much altcoin trading as a general trend going on. It's just really, we had a mini speculative bubble that has come back. And I think now it's kind of like a tough environment, but we want to position ourselves for lower levels and then buy again.
Marcus, again, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
That was Marcus Thielen, co-founder of 10x Research. And that marks the end of today's episode and this week's Markets Daily. I'm Helene Braun. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. If you missed anything this week, go check out our other episodes on Apple and Spotify or on our website, wherever you're listening or watching. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode.